For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The gospel in a nutshell. That's what we call this verse from St. John's Gospel. And in many respects, it is the simplest and clearest expression of who Jesus is and what he came to earth to do. Quite simply, Jesus came to save the world. Jesus came to save the world. But save the world from what? Save the world from itself, from Satan, and most obviously, he came to save the world from death. But here's the problem, and it's one that Christianity has tried to answer since Jesus rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. If Jesus conquered death by his death on the cross, why then do we still die? In order to answer that question, we have to turn to the book of Numbers and look at the Old Testament people of Israel. The children of Israel in Numbers chapter 21 are wandering in the desert. At a certain point during those 40 years of wandering, God teaches them how to listen to his word and trust that he will provide for all their needs, both physical and spiritual. But the children of Israel are, well, they are dense, slow to learn, and above all, they are rebellious. In fact, they are so rebellious that they speak against God to the point that God sends serpents to go and bite them. Many of them died. The wages of sin is death, as St. Paul reminds us. Then we read the following from Numbers chapter 21. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Moses agreed because he recognized their repentance and that they knew their sin and need for redemption. So Moses prayed to God, and God answered him by giving Moses instructions on how to save the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses does this. And you have to admit, this is rather odd. Put a snake on a stick? Isn't that snake the form that Satan took in the Garden of Eden? Yes, it is. And that's exactly the point. So two things really stand out in the episode from the people of Israel. First, is that the form of their salvation and life isn't much to look at. A bronze serpent, not exactly something to give one a lot of hope. That point we can see. The second point is a little less obvious. The snakes still come. Nowhere in the book of Numbers we see Moses making the snakes disappear. God didn't take away the serpents. He gave the people a way out, a way of salvation, so that even though they were bitten, the bite did not kill them. Whoever looked upon the bronze serpent in faith, that person lived. Now, fast forward to Jesus speaking with Nicodemus in John's Gospel. And Jesus uses this event in the life of Israel to show Nicodemus how God works. God works in the world like this. He doesn't take death away. Not yet, at least. What he does is send his son into a world of death so that he dies in our place. As we hear in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." Or perhaps a more precise translation would be this: "For God loved the world in this way, that he handed over his only begotten son." To whom did God hand Jesus over? He handed Jesus over to sin, death, and Satan himself. The unholy trinity that make up the evil we all live with every day. And this is the way God loved the world. This is the way God loved the world. Jesus then takes the punishment that you and I deserve, gives you eternal life, which is his by nature, and sets you up as kings and queens in his eternal kingdom. All because God the Father hands Jesus over to death. So for you, here and now and today, you still suffer death and the effects of sin. You get sick and injured. Things don't work as they ought to work. We hurt and we will still die. The serpent still bites at your heels. But God is still loving you. Jesus Christ has crushed the head of that old evil foe. By his death, he has destroyed death so that what we endure and suffer now is the after effects, rumblings and grumblings from an enemy that has already lost but wants to drag as many down with him as he can. Perhaps we should think of those lingering hurts as a wound that's in the process of healing. The doctor has done the surgery. The cancer is gone. But the wounds still take time to heal. We still live with the memories of the hurt. But at the last day, even the scars will be healed. Even the painful memories will no longer hurt like they once did. And I'm really looking forward to that. But make no mistake, dear baptized children of God, you belong to Jesus, and Satan cannot harm you. In speaking to Nicodemus, Jesus said, "You must be born again." Just like Graham this morning, you are born of water and the Spirit. It is a washing of rebirth. You are born again through baptism into God's family. When you were baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus. That means when you were baptized, God was doing what he promised to do. Forgive your sins. Rescue from death and the devil, and give eternal salvation. All this, his work through his word and the water, just as he promised. Jesus does not come into the world to shake his head at your sins and sinfulness. He doesn't just urge you to, like, do better next time. He doesn't come to give you an example to shoot for or a target to reach. No, his goals are much, much higher. Remember again verse 17 from chapter 3. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Please read this with me again. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. That's God's plan for you and for the entire world. He wants to save you, to heal you, to comfort you, to love you, and to give you hope that no matter how much the snake bites, you may be lifted, you may lift up your eyes and heart and hearts to the cross of Jesus, and in that cross you will find life. Real, abundant life that has no end, because Jesus has no end. So come, dear baptized children of God, and receive once again the gifts of the kingdom of heaven prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Come and rejoice in his body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sins. And give thanks for all his benefits, for the mercy of God endures forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.